These items are from chapter 9, creation. Numbers 5, 6, and 7 are one group that are split up by subtitles, and they will be grouped together in this recording. The subtitles are Thoughts Are Things. The second one is Unreality of Pain. And the third one is Immutable Identity of Man. We begin with the first one, which is Thoughts Are Things. Thoughts are things. Look away from the body into truth and love, the principle of all happiness, harmony, and immortality. Hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you will bring these into your experience proportionably to their occupancy of your thoughts. Anais Nin said, quote, "We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are." Don Miguel Ruiz said, quote, "We only see what we want to see." Another ancient philosopher, I don't find it immediately, said, "What we see is what we be." And in reverse, what we be is what we see. And this ties in to what was just quoted from Anais Nin, where he said, "We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are." Another quote by a fellow by the name of Morgan Raymond says, "What we are is what we see." There are PDF files on both of these from the internet. Quantum physics became known about 1900, and for the next 30 years, there was extensive research done to try to understand what it's all about. One of the things that apparently derived from that study was the fact that what appears as matter is really energy that is rotating at high speed. And it appears to be opaque, when in fact it is not. It is energy. It is not comprised of so-called matter at all. This could very well be one of the reasons why Einstein was so intrigued by Mary Baker Eddy's works. He had made the statement, as recorded by those who heard it. Imagine, Mary Baker Eddy knew this 100 years ago. In 1913, in the first issue of Life Understood, Rawson has a subtitle of Non-Existence of Matter. Some of his research, as explained in the book, was based on his chemical research and his knowledge of chemistry. That ties in well with quantum mechanics, where it is stated, as just previously mentioned, that what appears as opaque and therefore is called matter is really energy that is at a high vibration speed and appears to be opaque. Also, Rawson has confirmed through demonstration that the actual physical components of a body are changed through spiritual treatment by short-circuiting what was there before. That was confirming the makeup of the body. In other words, he is saying And he proved through demonstration that an analysis of the components of what is inside the body actually changes through spiritual treatment and shorts out the original belief of it being matter that is discordant. In other words, by removing the belief of discord, the fact of reality has really changed the body. And that, of course, is what scientific treatment is all about. Other writers, including Yvonne Roos, also has reiterated statements made by physicists which support Mary Baker Eddy's statement that there is no matter. In fact, in the scientific statement of being, she says there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. So no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter, that means matter could not exist. If there's no substance in matter, how can it exist? If there's no life, how can it be active? If there's no intelligence, how can it think? This statement in chapter 9, which is item 5 in the 39 items of household, that is entitled Thoughts Are Things, that's the subtitle in Science and Health on page 261. That is very interesting and collaborated by people in the physical world research, relying on things such as physics and chemistry. And where she says, hold thoughts steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you will bring these into your experience proportionably to their occupancy of your thoughts. That's exactly what Rawson reiterated later based on his research in chemistry, where it actually changed the chemistry of the body by doing scientific prayer, by administering scientific prayer. And of course, that was proven in the research. The first sentence in this paragraph on thoughts or things, to repeat, is look away from the body into truth and love, the principle of all happiness, harmony, and immortality. So that ties in with the very first paragraph of the 39 listed items, wait for your reward, which says work out your own salvation. Occupy till I come. Well, occupy till I come, again, means to guard the door of thought. In another place in Science and Health, she states that we need to guard our door of thought like we are guarding it against thieves and murderers. So that's the key. What are we going to let be in our thought atmosphere? Because it is totally an individual choice. If we're passive, we're making a choice to let others decide our thoughts, because our thoughts will be surrounded by and influenced by other people's thoughts. It's like the proverbial story about the closet. You have a closet that is absolutely empty, and if you don't build a structure and place things properly, it will fill up with things that would never be used, and anything that is to be used, you can't find it because it's mixed in with all the discord. The same with our thoughts. If we don't take care of them, they will fill up with trash. And then when we need a thought that is in there somewhere, mixed in with all the trash, we can't find it. What has been said so far is the foundation for the next item, which is number 6. Same chapter, just a continuation on the same page in Creation 261, under the title of Unreality of Pain. This continues with Mary Baker Eddy's pattern of having a sequence in what she writes, where one item that she focuses on unfolds to the very next item. So she builds a foundation for the reader that is paying attention. Unreality of pain. The effect of mortal mind on health and happiness is seen in this. If one turns away from the body with such absorbed interest as to forget it, the body experiences no pain. Under the strong impulse of a desire to perform his part, a noted actor was accustomed night after night to go up on the stage and sustain his appointed task, walking about as actively as the youngest member of the company. This old man was so lame that he hobbled every day to the theater and sat aching in his chair till his cue was spoken, a signal which made him as oblivious of physical infirmity as if he had inhaled chloroform, though he was in the full possession of his so-called senses. The previous paragraph, number 5, stating thoughts are things, and then explaining that by saying, look away from the body into truth and love, the principle of all happiness, harmony, and immortality. Hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you will bring these into your experience proportionably to their occupancy of your thoughts. And here she says, the effect of mortal mind on health and happiness is seen in this. If one turns away from the body with such absorbed interest as to forget it, the body experiences no pain. So this actor did exactly that. He may have been totally unaware of what was happening because he may have been just totally so interested in being active in his part of being on stage that he didn't realize what was happening. What he did know is that he could perform the part that was required, and he could do it as if he was among the youngest actors on the stage, which apparently was what he needed to do to perform his particular part in that play. Now, obviously, the lasting way to make that happen, so that when he goes back to his chair, he feels the same way he did when he was on stage, is through scientific prayer. In other words, exchanging the thoughts of illness, the thoughts of debility, the thoughts of being a mortal that is subject to age and all the beliefs that are a part of that belief of age, which again is dependent upon the belief of birth in the beginning, a material birth. Again, we're talking about physics and chemistry. The whole exercise of a so-called human birth is based on a male and a female having a unity and having friction, and that friction creating a spark, electricity, and that electricity then activates the parts that bring forth a so-called amount of matter. And that matter, going through the universal belief of growth, incubation, birth, and that birth then being attached to another set of universal beliefs about growth again and maturity, and then the realization that it's over and it's going to decline, or the universal belief. And one may not be even conscious of it, but it's what is in the atmosphere of thought unless it is short-circuited through spiritual treatment. Or on a temporary basis, as was explained with the actor, it is short-circuited on a merely self-will, personal desire basis. But that again is a temporary solution. And certainly not reliable, for it depends upon so-called mortal mind, which is always in a dance. No reliability, dependability, or consistency whatsoever. Martin Armstrong proved this theory about age to be a fallacy. For a period of about 20 years, he did not have contact with other humans. And during that time, he did not age. He looked the same at the end of that 20-year period as in the beginning. He apparently had photographs to be able to substantiate that. And that statement was in one of his articles on his website. I just started a new map with the title Matter Unreal, CS Revelation Confirmed by Top Physical Scientist. The next item is number 7, and that again is the same chapter 9, creation, continuation of the same sentences. The new subtitle for this paragraph is Immutable Identity of Man. Detach sense from the body or matter, which is only a form of human belief, and you may learn the meaning of God or good and the nature of the immutable and immortal. Breaking away from the mutations of time and sense, you will neither lose the solid objects and ends of life nor your own identity. Fixing your gaze on the realities supernal, you will rise to the spiritual consciousness of being, even as the bird which has burst from the egg and preens its wings for a skyward flight. This states clearly that the identity of man cannot be changed because it is based on God, and God is immutable. And discord is merely human belief or the result of human belief, but not fact. And the instruction here is to fix our gaze on the realities supernal. And if we do that, we will rise to the spiritual consciousness of being, just like a bird flies above the belief of the limitation of gravity. Jesus moved from one side of the lake to the other. He walked on water. He moved the rock that was blocking the mouth to the cave where they had laid him after crucifixion. He overcame the belief of matter in everything he did. In feeding the 4,000 in one place, of 5,000 in another, all the healings, raising people from the dead, healing every form of sin and sickness and disease that was shown to him, that confronted him in those days. And of course, that's been done by other spiritually advanced people. Those are all proofs, which are demonstrations of the non-reality of matter. the non-existence of matter, proving that man's identity is immutable. Can't be damaged, can't be diluted, deflected, can't be stopped, can't be reversed. God's qualities are fixed. Man reflects God's qualities. If that is clear enough in thought, then the body reflects that purity of thought about the identity of man. And therefore the appearance, invisible form, yields to the thought, which is the truth. And everything in the experience of an individual automatically is reflecting the thought. That includes universal belief. Actually, totally neutralized and replaced with facts. The word, the facts of science, the facts about what God is and about man being only a reflection, which means it can't do anything on its own. Everything is by reflection. And there's nothing limited to God. For God is infinite, omnipotent. There's no other power to be able to detract or deflect reality. The key here is to turn away from a material sense of things, of which suggestion tries to be continuous in bombarding thought with discord. The subtitle for this paragraph is Errors, Power, Imaginary. You command the situation if you understand that mortal existence is a state of self-deception and not the truth of being. Mortal mind is constantly producing on mortal body the results of false opinions, and it will continue to do so until mortal error is deprived of its imaginary powers by truth, which sweeps away the gossamer web of mortal illusion. The most Christian state is one of rectitude and spiritual understanding, and this is best adapted for healing the sick. Never conjure up some new discovery from dark forebodings regarding disease and then acquaint your patient with it. Mary Baker Eddy states the problem, the constant bombardment, constantly producing on mortal body the results of its false opinions. That's mortal mind she's referring to. And the solution, the most Christian state is one of rectitude and spiritual understanding. Mary Baker Eddy also gives the solution in chapter 14, Recapitulation, as question 23, the next to the last one just before the tenets. The question is, how can I progress most rapidly in the understanding of Christian Science? And the title to this question and answer is Rudiments and Growth. Answer: study thoroughly the letter and imbibe the spirit. Adhere to the divine principle of Christian Science and follow the behests of God, abiding steadfastly in wisdom, truth, and love. In the science of mind, you will soon ascertain that error cannot destroy error. You will also learn that in science, there is no transfer of evil suggestions from one mortal to another. For there is but one mind, and this ever-present omnipotent mind is reflected by man and governs the entire universe. You will learn that in Christian Science, the first duty is to obey God, to have one mind, and to love another as yourself. The next subtitle under the same question, how can I progress most rapidly in the understanding of Christian Science? This subtitle of this next paragraph under the same question is condition of progress. We all must learn that life is God. Ask yourself, am I living the life that approaches the supreme good? Am I demonstrating the healing power of truth and love? If so, then the way will grow brighter unto the perfect day. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God brings to man. Hold perpetually this thought, that it is the spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost, and Christ, which enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty the rule of healing, based upon its divine principle, love, underlying, overlying, and encompassing all true being. The finale of this question and answer, how can I progress most rapidly in the understanding of Christian Science, is a paragraph with the title of Triumph Over Death. So the other part of this is demonstrating sin and sickness, and now we're talking about death. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law of mortal belief, at war with the facts of immortal life, even with the spiritual law which says to the grave, where is thy victory? But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's the end of this compilation of items number 5, 6, and 7 of the 39 different ones for household, with the other references researched and provided herein. Amen.